Good morning. I thank God that He's given me another year. And no, I'm not 65. I'm 53 today. So, yeah, I'm just 13 years younger than Buster. Can we pray before we get going? Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You, Lord, for what You've done in my life and my family's. Lord, I thank You that You've given me another year. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, that You'll bless this word. Lord, that I won't say any more or any less than what You would have me to say. And Lord, I ask Jesus that You'll open up the ears to hear and the hearts to receive. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to start in Acts. Acts 2, chapter 17. I think this is one of my favorite books. I like them all, but I think this might be one of my favorite books of the Bible, Acts. When we did our home groups, the name of our home group was Acts 2. Because that's where all the things happened, was in Acts. Acts 2:17 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." It says shall. They shall do this. It doesn't say they might. It doesn't say they could. It says that they shall. And the Spirit of the Lord is being poured out. It began on Pentecost. In the close of the last days, I believe we're in the last days. I look around and see what's going on around me, and I believe that I'm in the last days. I can remember as a little kid, as this young man's age, I can remember my grandfather saying, "Boy, get ready. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming." And I believed that all my life. Jesus is coming. But now when I hear people say Jesus is coming, I'm looking to the sky because I know it's closer than what we think. Now in this verse, it says that young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. The young people are mentioned, and Buster, the old people are mentioned. Love you, brother. You got to love me back if you want to go to heaven, okay? What I want to talk about this morning is the anointing. The presence of God. The power of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes us witnesses. It says it's going to be poured out. It began at Pentecost in that upper room when suddenly, it's going to fall on both the young and the old alike. And there's a culture difference there. All right? Dan, I'm not picking on you this morning, but I'm going to use you. The things that this woman has seen and the things that I have seen are totally different. My grandfather, you know, I was brought up in a Pentecostal church. And I can remember my grandfather telling me, it was a Wednesday night, I was probably 8 years old, and we were getting ready for church. And I said, "Grandpa, I want to stay home." And he said, "Why?" I said, "Charlie Brown's on tonight. I want to watch Charlie Brown." He said, "Boy, Charlie Brown will send you to hell." And it scared me. What? If I watch Charlie Brown, I'm going to hell? That's not what he meant. What he meant is, if I put Charlie Brown before God, you know, that could, because I'm making Charlie Brown an idol. It's, yeah. So I understand that now. But when I was young, I didn't understand that. There is a culture difference, and we see two separate generations being anointed with this last day's anointing and being used of God. Now, I can remember going to church, and we would sit every week. We would sit four pews back from the front. And that was, you know, my grandma and grandpa, my mom and dad, my brother, I don't have any brothers, my sisters and I. That was our row. That was the Blackford row. Don't you dare sit in the Blackford row. Don't do it. But I can remember singing them old those old hymns. And I can remember I always sat, they had me placed. Now I know why, you know, it was strategically done. But my grandpa, my grandma, myself, my mom, and my dad. And my dad always sat with his arm around my mom because I thought he loved my mom. He does love my mom, or he did love my mom. But that was so if I started to get out of line, he could, poof. He would lay hands on me in Jesus' name. But I can remember we would begin singing songs, and I can remember watching my grandpa. And I loved my grandpa. My grandpa was my hero. But I can remember my grandpa standing there with his arms up in the air, and he'd begin to shake. I'd look at Mom. I'd say, what's up with Grandpa? And she'd say, shh, just be quiet, Charlie, just be quiet. That was that anointing coming down on my grandfather. And like I said, we was Pentecostal. There was a few times that I seen my grandfather jump a couple pews and, you know, do things that I normally wouldn't see him do. But that anointing began to flow on my grandpa. And God would get a hold of him. So when I was 12 years old, I finally decided, okay, it's time for me to get right with God. And that same anointing that was flowing through my grandpa that was coming down from heaven, it got a hold of me. And I didn't shake or nothing, but I knew something was different. It's going to fall on the young and on the old. It's a living water that's going to flow out through us. And in this last days, I want to ask you guys a question. Everybody in here has been spirit-filled at one time. And when you got saved for the very first time and you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to think about that. Think about how you felt. Think about what you've done that day. Not now, that day. That day that Jesus came into your heart and he filled you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're on fire. Nothing, nobody could stop you. You were on a mission. I got to take this to school. I got to take this to work. I got to take it out in the street. There's something about that first time. And you'll be on fire for, I don't know, 6 months, 8 months. and you're trying to preach to people and you're trying to witness to people. And the devil's over here and he's going, and you allow that flame just to kind of begin to dwindle. It's like we still have it, but it's not like it was. It's not like it was. I can remember going to the revivals in Florida and in Alabama. And we would come back, and you're driving home, you know, you're driving home, and it's like, oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, what's good this time? I heard a woman best describe it as the Holy Ghost chicken laying an egg. You know, we'd get that. We would get that. And we wanted to pray for everybody and anything. And we'd go out to restaurants and God would speak to us and he'd say, you know what, I want you to tell this individual that. I want you to walk over there and tell this individual this. And I can remember myself sitting in restaurants. And the God would say, I want you to tell. We was in Golden Corral. And God gave me a word for this woman. And I'm like, okay, God, as soon as I finish these mashed potatoes. He said, no now. So I got up and I went over and I said, look, I said, you don't know me, but this is what God's telling me to tell you. And I told her. And she looked at me. She put her arms around me. She said, I needed that. Thank you. We forget that we were called by God. John 4:14 says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4:23-24. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the God seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. We've let that water, it's beginning to dry up. We let that water sit. We've let that water get dormant. God says today, he wants to put new water in you. He wants to take that wineskin that you have and he wants to refill it. He wants to put fresh water in it. There is a prophecy about the prophetic anointing coming alive and God being a God in the midst, manifesting the glory once again in the midst of the church. What's a church? A church, God's church, Jesus' church.
Well, I go to the Catholic church down here, Sister Mother Mary, may I? But I go to the Southern Baptist church. Well, I go over here to this Methodist church.
God doesn't say that he's going to pour out his anointing on
the Assemblies of God church.
He doesn't say that he's going to pour out his anointing on the Methodist church. He says he's going to pour it out on his church. On his church. John 7:37-39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. We are to be living vessels. Okay? We're supposed to be living vessels of the Lord that he wrote about with these wells. A well. What's a well? What do we get out of wells? We get water out of wells. I remember growing up as a kid, we had well water. We had well water. And I knew that when I was outside playing, I don't care what time of the year it was, whether it was summer, winter, fall, or spring, I could go to that sink, turn that water on, and that water was just as cold could be. It was there. It was there. I don't ever remember going into that kitchen and turning on that water. Hey, Dad, something's wrong with the water. It's not coming out. It was always there. It's just like Jesus. He's always there. And some of us might have gotten away from that first love. That first time that we came to the altar and we kneeled down and we said, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. God, forgive me, I've done so many things that are wrong. I need you to forgive me. Now, after I got saved at the age of 12, I was on fire for God. I mean, I think at that time I probably could have out-preached Benny Hinn. I could have out-preached Billy Graham. Or at least I thought I could, because I was telling everybody and anybody that would listen to me what God had done for me. And that lasted about a year. And those fiery darts was coming from the enemy. And I turned completely away from God. I turned as far away from God as that you could possibly get. And it wasn't until I was in my 20s that I said, okay, God, you win. And I had those living waters. It was like God said, you know what, son? I forgive you. Here, let's uncap this. And he uncapped that well. And those living waters begin to flow again. It's a well that it will never, ever run dry. It's a well that when I need a drink, I can go to that well and I can drink. It's a well that when I'm sick, I can go to that well and I can be healed. It's a well that when I fall, I can get picked back up. There's a lot of things going on in our world right now. And you say, well, what's going to cap that well? Your carnal thinking. I'm guilty. I said something the other day. That's my daughter Brittany right there, guys. She's got a friend, Courtney. And I've known Courtney since when? Second grade? I've known her since she was in second grade, and Courtney is, what is she, a year older than you? She's like 23. Anyway, doesn't matter. I've known Courtney all her life. And Courtney is gay. And I seen something she put on Facebook the other day. It said, we're going to a couples massage. I man, that just irks me. And I said something out loud. And Melissa said, excuse me? And I said, I'm sorry. We're to hate the sin and love the sinner. But so many times we want to put our own 2 cents worth in. That will cap your well. Jesus says to love all people. There's something else. Depending on your own self rather than depending on God. I've heard this before, and I've heard it so many times, and believe it or not, I just heard it last week. If you want to know what the church is supposed to look like, look in the Bible. Look at the book of Acts. That is what the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is supposed to look like. We think that we're going to change the world with our thoughts, with the works that we can do. You're wrong. You're gay. You're going to hell. What you're doing just makes me sick. It might. I don't agree with it. And yes, they are going to hell. But I can remember being a kid. I can remember these, and well, Melissa's not in here, but as I was coming up, my mom's had prayer group every Tuesday, and I would come in, and I was almost afraid to walk in the door, because I'd come in the door, and these women, it was like, and they begin to lay hands on me. You're going to hell, son. You smoking dope and shooting that stuff and drinking that stuff. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. And they would go on and on and on and on. In fact, Loretta, she's not here today. She was one of those women. But I'm thankful for those women. And after I rededicated my life, I thanked those women. You know what? You got on my nerves so bad. So, so bad. And if you'd have been a bunch of old men, I'd have come out swinging. But I'm thankful for those women who saw in me what I couldn't see in myself. We let our opinions get in our way, and we'll cap our wells. Let's talk politics. Politics. God says that we should pray for our nation. God says that we should pray for our nation and our leaders and those in charge. I've said it. I don't like Obama. I don't like nothing that man stands for. But I still got to pray for him. God, change his heart. Change his mind. But we don't say that. Man, I can't wait for him to get off out of office. Man, I wish just some good old boy would just. That's a sin. When we allow our thoughts and our actions to take control, the Bible says what's in a man's heart comes out of his mouth. We do. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our leaders. We've let politics get a hold of us, our beliefs. We've let them, I don't know how I want to say this. We've let them get in our way. We've stood quiet too long. Way too long. I can remember going to school and being in school and we would pray. I can remember even all the way up to high school. Hey, if you want to pray, we're going to have this thing in the morning, every morning, and we could pray. Now, oh, you know what? Zachary was praying in school and it offended me. Zachary, you're suspended for the rest of the year. But we won't stand up. We just want to sit idly by. We don't let that well. When we went to Florida, I told God, I said, God, this is what I want. And I didn't tell nobody else. I told my wife. God knows the desires of our heart. And the preacher was preaching. And he stopped and he said, you know what? He said, I've never, ever, 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 ever did this. He said, but there's somebody in this room that wants a Peter's shadow like Peter had. When people would walk past his shadow, they could feel his presence. I grabbed Melissa. I said, did you hear what he said? Did you hear what he said? And I took off, man, I was gone. That's me, brother, that's me. God will give you the desires of your heart. But we got to continue to let that well. Let that well flow. People at work say, what kind of church you go to? I go to a spirit-filled church. Oh, is it charismatic? You can call it that, or you can call it Pentecostal. Now, when I was a kid, I went to a Pentecostal church because that's what they were called at the time. What's the difference between the two? Anybody? Is there a difference? No difference whatsoever. None. None. They are describing the same things, the exact same things. They're operating in the exact same gifts. Everything's the same. You got two groups. If my grandpa were still alive, he would be on the Pentecostal side. And my family would be on the I have a hard time saying that word. Yes, we'd be on this side. So, what's the difference? There's no difference. In the last days, God's going to pour out his spirit on the old and on the young. So there's some of us here that say, you know what? My well is running dry. I've let some things into my life. And then there's some of us there that are here that says, you know what? I've never, ever even experienced what you're talking about. I got good news for you. In the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit on the old and on the young. We can drink from that well. We can be what God has called us to be. The gifts that my grandfather operated in, I know my grandfather had the gifts of speaking in tongues. He had the gift of healing. He had the gift of interpretations. And he had the gift of prophecy. And I hated when he had the gift of prophecy.
Hey, Chuck. Yeah, I need to talk to you. Okay. Hey, you need to, come on, Grandpa, quit talking to God, please. He knew.
Isaiah 12, verse 2 and 3 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He is also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." We got a lot of people trying to dig out of the old wells. The old wells. Some of them wells have been capped. Some of them old wells still getting a little bit out of. There's young people that are trying to dig out of the old wells. There's old people trying to dig out of the new wells. "In the last days, I will pour my spirit out on the old and the young." Isaiah 43:19, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The new thing will be this: the old wells and the new wells will spring forth with the flowing of the Spirit of the Lord. The wilderness will be overcome, and there will come rivers in the desert." God's going to take the old, he's going to take the new, or take the old and the young, and he's going to do a new thing. He's going to do a new thing in this generation. God wants to use every single one of us. So Janet calls me, says, "What's going on, Chuck?" I said, "Not much, Janet, what's up?" She says, "I want to go to the old folks' home, and I want to witness." Okay, that's cool. I'll go with you. So we go. Janet is going to be able to share stories with those people from, you know, the early 60s and the late 70s. I could share some story from the late 60s and the early 70s. I could share some stories from the 1970s. Hey, do you remember watching the Flintstones on Saturday mornings? And these people are going to look at me and go like, you know what? She's going to have more in common with them than I would. But I still want to pray for them. Or I could call Janet and say, "Hey, Janet, yeah? Hey, there's a heavy metal fest going down at Rupp Arena. You want to go with me and witness to some people?" And she's going to go, "Yeah." So we go, and I'm going to have more in common with those people than what she's going to have. But you know what? The old and the young. One purpose. One thing. And we're both going to be drinking out of the same well. And he's going to provide everything that we need. We can sit here and say, you know what? I don't think Jesus is coming back just yet. I think that, you know, I've got like 40 years, 50 years. I don't think he's coming back just yet. And I can say, you know what, dude, I think you're wrong. Because I'm looking at this and I'm looking at that. And we can sit here and we can argue about it all day long. But the thing is, until we lose our pride, before we need to repent of some hidden things that we might have. We need to make sure that we are ready. We need to make sure that our loved ones are ready. We can sit and preach to people and tell them that Jesus is coming back, but what difference is it going to make if our vessel is dirty? Jesus is going to come back, and I'm going to be going, oh, yeah, Jesus is coming back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the rapture happened, and I'm still standing here going, what's up? We want to get hungry for his presence so that he will pour out his spirit. I've heard it say, how hungry are you? What's your hunger level? I've even seen t-shirts with it on it. How hungry are you for Jesus Christ? Jesus wants to uncap some wells today. Two Sundays ago, Pastor Mark came to me and he said, hey, he said, you want to bring the word in 2 weeks? And I said, sure. And I went home. And Tuesday night, I was laying in bed getting ready to fall asleep. And I said, Jesus, what do you want me to preach on? And I went to sleep and I had a dream. And we were in a church, but it wasn't this church. But Pastor Mark and Donna were the pastors there. And we walked in, and there was these things on the ground, like 40 of them. And I went over to try to pick one up, and I couldn't. And I said, Melissa, come here, look. She bent down, she looked at it, she said, I know what these are. She said, give me a crowbar. And I said, I got one in my toolbox, which was weird because my toolbox was in the church. My toolbox that I have at work was in the church. And I know what that is now. But we began uncapping these wells, and as we did, fire came out. God wants to uncap some wells today. God wants to uncap some wells, not just in each and every one of us, but in this building. We pray for revival. God, send revival. God, please send revival. Revival's not going to start in a building. It's going to start in each and every one of us. The Spirit of the Lord wants to transform each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, he wants to transform us. He wants to take us to the next glory. He wants us to hear the call of God. I'm going to read one more verse and then I'm going to be done. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm tired. I'm tired of seeing people sick. I'm tired of seeing people hurt. I'm tired of not seeing my family. On God like they should be on fire for God. I
I know that I've got a strong heritage that started with my great-grandfather, which I didn't know him, to my grandfather, through my parents, through myself, and through my children. And I don't want that heritage to die with my children. I want that heritage to go from to my grandchildren and to my great-grandchildren and to my great-great-great-grandchildren. If the Lord tarries. I had an Aunt LaVon and Uncle Robert who lived in Detroit, Michigan. And I would go up there and I'd spend like 4 to 6 weeks with them, my sisters and I would. And I can remember my Aunt LaVon, she played piano and she sang. She wasn't the worship leader, but she was on the worship team. And this man came in and he was in a wheelchair. And he was sitting. And I can remember this like it was yesterday. I was probably 10 years old. And they brought that man up and they set him up by the front. And the pastor was preaching. And my Aunt LaVon stood up and she said, "I'm sorry, Pastor, but God's telling me this is what I need to do." And she took that man and she pushed him up. And she had some gentlemen help her and they got up on stage. And my Aunt LaVon's piano was right here. And they pushed that man right there. And my Aunt LaVon got on the piano. And she began to sing that song. "In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." I don't know if you guys heard it or not. But she began, it's an old hymn, and she began to sing that song. And she stood up, she laid hands on that guy. And that guy, he began to shake, and he stood up. And, you know, God healed him right there. It can still happen. Guys, we're not doing all that we can for God. I'm not doing all I can for God. And I'm sorry. I ask for forgiveness for that. It's time we opened up some wells. It's time we uncapped some wells. It's time that we let that living water flow through us, that it so consumes us that it's just, it's overflowing, that we say we can't get enough. That we cannot get enough of you, God. That we need you. It's time that we say we need you, God, more. More of you and less of myself. More of you and less of myself. That needs to be everyone's desire. That needs to be everyone's prayer. I know a lot of people that are spirit-filled and they're on fire for God. And I can honestly say I don't believe that they're doing all that they should be doing. The last days. There's a reason God said in the last days I'm going to pour out my spirit on the old and on the young. Because he knows that so many people are not going to be ready. So it's up to the old and it's up to the young. As he pours out his spirit onto us that we need to pour our spirit out on the others. That we need to be a little bit more bolder. We need to be a little bit more forward. When you go into a restaurant and God says, "Hey, you know what? I want you to tell this person that." Don't go, "I'm scared." Ask yourself, do you think God's going to let something happen to you? When God gives you a word for somebody, give that word for them. Give that word to them. Just like myself sitting in Golden Corral, and God said, "Speak to this woman." And I said, "After my potatoes." "No, now." And I went over there and I told her, and she hugged me. She said, "Thank you. I needed to hear that." God wants to uncap some wells. I believe that there's wells inside this building, that there used to be wells that sprang through this building. And through circumstances, and through arrogance, and through people, that they got capped.
God wants to uncap them. On this stage, there's all kinds of wells that need to be opened up. We need to go back to our first love. We need to remember doing the Holy Ghost chicken laying egg thing. We need to go back to the helicopter. We need to go back to falling flat on our faces on cement. And everybody thinking, oh my gosh, is he going to be okay? Oh my goodness. Stood up, no teeth are missing. My eyes weren't black from my nose hitting. What's your hunger level today? How hungry are you? How hungry are you? Pastor said this morning, he said, everybody must have thought I was out of town. You know what, Pastor? That shouldn't have mattered. People should have said, you know what? That church has got Jesus in it, and I need it. I want us to examine ourselves today. I want us to honestly look at ourselves and say, how hungry am I? A few weeks ago, we were doing devotions at home. And I was in Revelation where Jesus had wrote the letters to the different churches. And I asked my kids and my wife and myself, I said, if Jesus was to write you a letter, what would your letter say? What would your letter say? I've seen the deeds that you've done. You did good. Was it going to go, you know what, man, you failed. I want us to ask ourselves, what wells have I allowed to be capped? What wells have I capped? What's my hunger level? Am I allowing something in my life that's keeping me away to get in the full glory of God? Do I look at people and go, man, they're doing that wrong? I hate them for doing that. We battle every day. Every day we battle. It's a spiritual battle. I battle one every day at work. Every day, I know that when I go into work, there's going to be a spiritual battle. I've got the Muslims in there, and they can pretty much do whatever they want. And it makes me angry that we allow that to happen. Or that I allow that to happen. And I've taken stands against it before. But the people that I had with me at church, and my manager was supposed to actually be here today, but he had to go to St. Louis yesterday, and I guess he's still there. But the people that I had with me before, they're getting weary. They're getting tired. I just want to rest. Whew, I can't. You go on. I just got to rest. And they've rested for so long that now they don't really even care. It's going to be all right. You know, it's going to be okay. I go to my manager's office and, hey, Scott, man, I need to talk to you. What is it? It's nothing to do with work. Can you pray with me? You have no idea what it's like to have a manager that you can go to and say, you know what, man, I'm getting beat up today. Can you pray with me? He'll say, yeah. Leave the door open. Maybe some of the others will get some of this. I'm so thankful that God has put that man into my life. So thankful. But not all of us have that, you know, at work. And it's gotta be okay. God, I need you. I'm gonna close. And hey, Sammy, will you go get your mom? Can you sit in there with the kids with your mom for a minute? I'm going to close and I'm going to pray. But I want you to ask yourself the question, how hungry are you? Have you allowed some wells to be capped? And if you have, are you ready to uncap those wells? Because God's ready to open up them wells. There's some great things about to happen with the church. And I'm not just talking our church. I'm not just talking our church. I'm talking the church. Jesus' church. The one that he's coming back for. The one that's ready. But I'm going to ask if Mary and Melissa will join me up here. We want to pray for you. We want to pray that God will uncap those wells, that he'll raise your hunger level, that you won't be the one sitting while everybody else is doing. And it's not a bad thing. I'm not putting you down. And if you take it that way, I apologize. Because I've been there. I've been where you're at. God, I just don't feel it. I know that you're here, but I just can't feel it. And my pride wouldn't let me go up and say, God, I need you, man. Hey, Chuck, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. I'm good, man. Oh, God, bless God. But in the inside, my well was dry. My well was dry. I would love to come in here and, you know, praise and worship and everybody doing the Holy Ghost lay an egg chicken walk or the helicopter. Because, like, when you're doing that, when you're laying them eggs and you're doing that helicopter, them eggs that you're laying are eggs of fire. You're doing the helicopter and you're shooting off fireballs. It's contagious. It's contagious. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for who you are and for what you've done. And, Lord, I just ask, Father, right now, Lord, that you would uncap these wells, Lord, that we've allowed to be capped for so long. Lord, that we've let lie dormant, Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would fill each and every one of us, Lord, with your living water, Lord. Lord, let us overflow, Lord, and continue, Lord, to fill us, Lord. But as we overflow, Lord, that the other people will step into that water that's coming out, Lord. Lord, I pray, Jesus, that you would raise our hunger level for you, Father. Lord, that as we go out, Lord, and do our daily things, Lord, whether we're at a Walmart, Lord, or at work, Lord, or at the gas station, or at a Redbox, Lord, that living water will continue to flow, that it'll overflow, Father, that it'll flow through our homes, Lord, that it'll flow through our families, Lord, through our parents, Lord, and through our children, Lord, and through our sisters and brothers, Lord. Lord, I so want to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful son. I do not want to hear, depart from me, for I never knew you. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that if there's anybody in this house this morning, Lord, that does not know you, Lord, as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, that they'd come up right now, Lord, that the pride won't hold them back, Lord, that they'll be free, Father, to come, and Lord, and dedicate their lives to you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this day. Once again, Lord, I thank you for another year. Lord, I just love you and I praise you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you want prayer, come on up. Melissa and Mary, will you help me pray, guys?